You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Well, folks, you are in for a treat. This 33-year-old Mexican singer and actor went to the United States to expand his career with two friends, formed a film production company. Their first feature, Bella, also starring Tammy Blanchard, was made for about $3 million U.S. and won the People's Choice Award right here in Toronto at the Toronto International Film Festival. And from there, it's become an absolute sleeper success, grossing more than $8.96 million so far. It's probably higher now. And it's coming back to Toronto, hopefully in March, I think. Please, will you do me a favor and welcome to the show the producer and star of Bella. And let me see if I can get this right. I know people have had a hard time with this. I've been practicing your name every day. Are you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
Okay, here we go. The star of Bella, Jose Eduardo Verastegui. Cordoba, or is it Pepe, or Lalo? Which one is it?
That's perfect, man. Eduardo Verastegui.
Man, I tried so hard.
Oh, well, you did a very good job. I'm so proud.
I'm sorry to be such a lame person with the accents. You grew up in Mexico, just south of Texas, right?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show.
And you're welcome.
For allowing me to, you know, to talk about this movie, Bella. Yes, I am from a very small town northern Mexico, in the state of Tamaulipas. This is below Texas, and it's called Xicotencalt.
Wait, I got to get that. Say it again.
Xicotencalt.
Xicotencalt.
Very good. You speak Spanish?
No.
Well, you sound like a very good accent.
Poquito.
Poquito.
Yeah, that's about it. All I could say, I lived in California for about 4 years, and some guys in prison taught me a bit of Spanish. and all I can say is, órale vato.
Órale vato, yeah. Well, right? That's slang, Mexican slang.
Yeah, or loco en la cabeza, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's about
crazy.
It.
You're crazy. But anyway, so that's where I grew up, and I'm the oldest one. I have three younger sisters, and my father wanted me to be a lawyer, and so I went to law school, and you know, because I wanted to please my father, because I love him. But I went there only for two semesters.
Eduardo, what was it like being the oldest of three sisters? I mean, no wonder you left home when you were 18.
Ooh. it was chaos. No, it was great. You know, I mean, I have three wonderful sisters. They're just they're amazing, and you know, very small town where you know we have a lot of family over there. So it was a great place to live in Mexico, and.
What are your sisters all doing in life now?
One is actually they're moving to Los Angeles to help me with this nonprofit that I have that we do missions to Mexico to build houses for the poor and we do many other things, and they're going to be helping me. So they're going to be moving here probably in the next month. One is a lawyer and the other one is a graphic designer and the other one is a chef. And
wow.
So,
that's a good combination. Now, your daddy also wanted you to be a lawyer, but at 18, you left to Mexico City for some professional training and acting and singing. How did your dad feel about this?
Well, you know, he in the beginning was very hard because he, again, you know, he wanted me to be a lawyer. He wanted me to be a politician. And of course, I went there and I gave it a try, but I didn't like it. It was not my passion. And so after the second semester, I left the college to move to Mexico City to pursue my dream. You know, I wanted to be an actor, I wanted to be a singer. So the first year was very tough. He didn't want to talk to me, and I understand now. At that time, I didn't understand. I was only 17, 18, and I was very rebel, and I was very immature, and I understand. You know, I understand now why he was so worried, because I moved to a city that is more than 20 million people. It's a big city, Mexico City. So imagine from a small town, northern Mexico, 15,000 people to a city that is 22 million people.
Yeah, I'd be a little worried too.
You know, I mean, and you know this environment. It's like the capital of temptations. It's a very dangerous environment. So,
yeah, and then they throw into the whole mix you. I mean, I've seen you with your shirt off, buddy. You know,
that's Eduardo BC, okay? Before Christ.
You're a walking temptation yourself. Hey, listen, what's interesting here, Eduardo, is that you became a huge Mexican soap opera star, and one of the telenovelas
yes.
was called Alma Rebelde, which is, I think, rebellious soul?
Yes.
So here you are saying, you know what, Dad, I don't want to be a lawyer, and I'm out of here. Then you end up being in this soap opera called Rebellious Soul, and then later, in the 20th Century Fox film Chasing Poppy, you played a lawyer.
Can you imagine? Well, actually, before that, I started singing in a boy band for 3.5 years all over Latin America. You know, kind of like the NSYNC of Mexico at that time, you know?
Cairo.
Cairo, yes. That's how I started my career. So for 3.5 years, traveling all over like 16 countries in Latin America.
Right.
And right after that, that's when I started doing the soap operas. And you know, in Mexico, we don't have so many options like here in the U.S., you know. If you want to make a living as an actor, over there you either do soap operas or soap operas.
Right,
you know, you're
right.
Stuck on that. So that's what I did, for 3.5 years. And then I moved to Miami, and Miami is like the capital of Latin America. I didn't speak English, so everybody speaks Spanish over there. And I moved there to record my first solo album in Spanish. And one day I was flying from Miami to Los Angeles to promote that album. And on the plane, I met this person who happens to be the VP of casting for 20th Century Fox. And he's the one who actually invited me to do this audition.
Is for Chasing Poppy?
It's for Chasing Poppy.
Now, was Jackie Velasquez in that?
Excuse me? Yes.
Jackie Velasquez. She was. Now, are you still in touch with Jackie?
I haven't seen her for a while. No, actually, I don't. I know that she got married, and that's it, you know. I haven't seen her.
And you did the telenovelas, the soap operas, for 4 years, right? 4 years?
For 4 years in Mexico.
And is that like every day, every hour, every day? I mean, that's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, they're different from the soap operas here in America, in the U.S. Over there, they last only for like 9 months. So it's like one season, and then you jump to a different one with a different story, different character, and it's every day. I mean,
that's a lot different than over here. I mean, over here you could not watch it for 3 years and then tune in again, and it's the same soap opera, same story, same plot, same everything, right?
Over there, every year they change the whole thing, and then. When I remember when this casting director told me about Chasing Papi, I told him I don't speak English. I mean, I knew how to count 1 to 10, gallina chicken, my car is red, what is the bathroom, things like
Hold
that.
Hold on, what was that? What did you say about a chicken?
My car is red, gallina chicken, I don't know what.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so I knew a few words only, and he said, why don't you just memorize the 5 pages of the audition and give it a try? And I said, okay. So I hired an English teacher and a dialect coach, and I did my audition. I got the part. I moved to LA, immersed myself in the language, not allow myself to speak Spanish with anybody for a year, so I can force myself to start thinking in English. And so now I've only been speaking English for 5.5 years, and I hope you understand what I'm saying.
I'm sorry? So you, where did you record that number one solo album? I think it was your first song and radio hit. It was Yo No Sé Perde.
Que yo no sé perder. Yes, yeah, I don't know how to lose.
It's exactly what I said. Was
very good.
But where was that? Did you record that in Miami?
I was in Miami. Yes.
Now this was a heartbreak song, right?
Yes.
And can you relate to that heartbreak? I mean, I read a couple things on you here, and it doesn't sound like you've had the best of luck in love.
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, I didn't know what love was at that time. So, you know, it's very easy to get confused when it's just, you know, in an environment where, you know, so many beautiful girls and
easy.
You're just using,
easy.
You know what I'm saying.
I know. You don't have to say anything else. I get it. I'm there with you. I got the picture. It's painted. I know the colors.
Okay.
You might have been unlucky in love, but as far as your career goes, Eduardo, man, you've been blessed. I mean, you know, even though I think you gave up acting and soaps to be a recording artist, and that didn't kind of go too well for you, looking back on it all, you got to see God's hand on your life.
Yeah, you know what? Of course. And when I moved to L.A. after finishing Chasing Papi, that's when I realized that, first of all, that the lifestyle that I was living was unfulfilling. And I realized that the reasons why I wanted to be an actor and a singer when I started my career were very superficial reasons, you know, all about the fame, money, pleasure, power, vanity, ego, etc. So I felt empty after all these 10 years of achieving certain level of success, fame, and money. I was not happy, and something was missing in my life. And at the same time, I realized that Latinos, since the 40s until today, we have been stereotyped in a very negative way in the media, always the bandido, the criminal, the thief, the drunkard, prostitute, and if you're good looking, then you are the Don Juan Latin lover womanizer. And it's very sad because that's the path that I was, you know, living.
Yeah.
And, but this is the thing, man, that that's when I made a promise to God that I will never use my talents again to do anything that would offend my culture, my faith, or my family.
But why was there such a huge change? I mean, did God visit you one night and you know, show up and sort of scare the tar out of you? I mean, why the big change?
Well, you know what? I was already looking for a change. I was already looking for something deep in my career. I didn't know what it was.
Because, is it sort of that testimony story, Eduardo, where you've tried everything else, you tried the party scene, and nothing was filling you up, you were feeling empty? Is that kind of your testimony?
Exactly. I did it all in a way, and something was missing in my life, and that's when I hired this English teacher, this lady, who actually, she's the one who changed my life. And not only she taught me English, but she changed my life. But, of course, besides her, I really believe that it's nothing more powerful than the prayers of a mother. Mother told my father one day, you know what, I'm afraid that I'm going to receive a call in the middle of the night with the bad news. Guy doesn't listen to us anymore. He's a rebel guy. He's impossible. But you know what? If my words doesn't touch his heart anymore, my prayers will touch his heart one day.
Eduardo, are you still wearing the rosary your mom gave you?
Yes, yes.
You know, you have been very, very blessed having the mom and the dad that God gave you. I mean, your father, he's a man of faith, right?
Yes, I'm blessed. I mean,
he treats your mom with respect?
He's been such an amazing role model for me. And that's when I started comparing myself with him. You know, I mean, I'm here, you know, in all these events and making films, glorifying that the real Latino man is the womanizer, Latin lover. And then I see my father, how he sacrificed for us, how he treat my mother with respect, how he's faithful to her, how he's a loyal man, a man of faith, man of character. He works hard. So, of course, I feel ashamed. Like, okay, I mean, what kind of a man I want to be? And that's when this English teacher started questioning all these things in my life. You know, Eduardo, what is the purpose of your life? Who is God in your life? How are you using your talent? I mean, how are you using your talents? How are you choosing your projects? And you know, in the beginning, I was too proud to let her in, but she persisted in a very loving way until 6 months later, I realized that she was right in pretty much everything, and I was wrong in pretty much everything.
Isn't that amazing? Whenever it comes down between a man's point of view and a woman's point of view, that the women's point of view always wins. Always.
Yes. Somehow, you know. But you know what? I mean, from all the places, can you imagine in Hollywood, as I said before, this is the capital of temptation. This is where people come. I mean, people come to this place to find perdition, you know. And this is the place where, you know, the Lord touched my heart. And I remember one day talking to her, you know, when she looked at my eyes and told me, you know, and asked me, if you really love God, why are you offending him by choosing all these projects that are poisoning our society? And she said something else, and then she left. And that day, I remember, that's when everything changed. You know, I felt like my heart was, you know, I can't even describe with words how I felt that day. I started crying like I never cried before in my life, you know, and I'm just started saying, please forgive me, and I'm so sorry. And from now on, I mean, I did all kind of promises. I will never going to do anything that will offend you. I will never going to do this. I will never going to do that.
How are you doing with those promises, Eduardo?
You know, by the grace of God.
Those promises are dangerous.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? This is the thing. I'm a weak person, and I recognize that without him, I can do nothing. And so that's why I needed to have, like, a spiritual structure where I can, you know, every day, you know, have this discipline. You know, I'm being on my knees and ask for help. Otherwise, it is impossible. How can you achieve, you know, holiness? And you know, I really believe that, you know, that day I realized that I was not born to be an actor. I wasn't born to be a producer. I wasn't born to be, you know, famous. I was born to know and to love and to serve God. And you have to be willing to die to yourself. And that's the only way, because I realize that sometimes our own dreams, they can be our worst enemies if those dreams are not in line with God's will. So for me, it was not about what I want anymore, but what God wants me to do.
Well, and of course, now this movie, Bella, we got to talk about it. It's absolutely taken the world by storm. Is it true that you raised all the money for this film the same week that you met Pope John Paul II in person?
A week later, you know, because after I made that promise that I will never be involved in any project that will offend my faith and my culture or my family, I thought it was going to be very simple, you know, just go and talk to your managers and just tell them what kind of film you want to do, and that's it. For 4 years, man, I couldn't work because all the roles that I was offered was exactly the same negative stereotype that I promised I will never do again.
Yeah.
So I lost everything. I went broke and lost all my friends. People were thinking that, you know, this guy went crazy. I mean, come on, Eduardo, just take this project and say, I can't. And so I realized that as an actor, you don't have the power to control the message because you have to submit yourself to the script and to the studio, to the producer, etc. You want to have the power, you have to become a producer.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
started this production company at my house in the living room in front of a little table and a sofa and a cell phone with my two best friends. Went broke too.
what's Metanoia mean? That's the name of the film company. What's it mean?
Metanoia is a Greek word that means turning to God.
Okay.
And so what happened after 4 years of just not working because of this commitment, Alejandro Monteverde, one of my best friends, he's the director and the writer of Bella, he wrote Bella for me in 2 months. And then that's when we were invited to Rome and to meet the Holy Father, John Paul II. And I remember November, before just a few months before he died, I hold his hand and I told him, Holy Father, we have a production company called Metanoia Films, and please pray for us.
Did he know what Metanoia meant?
Well, of course.
I'm just checking, you know.
And then he gave me his blessing, and literally a week later, after 4 years of just literally, you know, I didn't even have money to pay my rent for the next month. And it was a big test because all these roles that I was offered, you know, they can resolve your economical situation for like the next 2 years, but it wasn't about that anymore, you know. And that's when you say yes to God and you say no to all these worldly things, you know, He bless you. You know, those who honor me, I will honor them. So that's when I met these guys from Philadelphia, and they not only they gave us the budget, I mean the money to make this film, but they bought part of the company, and right away we moved to New York City. We started shooting this movie, and in 24 days and a couple months later, we sent this film to one of the biggest film festivals in the world.
Up here in Toronto.
And Toronto changed our lives.
Good.
I mean, I'm so grateful because, you know, I mean, all we were hoping only to get in so we can have the logo in our poster. You know, that's all we wanted. You know, we're praying only for that. Forget about winning. I mean, that's crazy, you know. That's
yeah.
just a crazy
logo en la cabeza.
Loco de la cabeza. But when we find out that we got in, and 9 days later we end up winning one of the biggest film festivals in the world.
Wow.
It was like insane. It was, I mean, we just started crying. I mean, literally, Toronto put Metanoia Films and Bella in the map. And thank you, Toronto, for the rest of, I mean,
you're welcome.
I'm going to be grateful for eternity, you know?
You're welcome. I want to set the premise here for the movie. Let me read a little piece that I got from your people. An international soccer star, which would be you, Eduardo, is on his way to sign a multi-million dollar contract when something happens that brings his career to an abrupt end. Now a cook in his brother's restaurant, Jose, which is played by you, retreats from the world until Nina, Tammy Blanchard, a beautiful waitress struggling to make it in New York City, discovers something about herself that she's unprepared for. In one irreversible moment, a simple act of kindness brings them together and turns an ordinary day into an unforgettable experience. Before the day is through, Jose must confront his own haunting past to show Nina how the healing power of love can help her embrace the future. Inspired by true events, Bella is a heartwarming story about friendship, family, and our capacity for love in the face of the unexpected. How did I do?
Great. You're hired.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you know what? This film shows you that there is a time in everyone's life when a moment will change your life forever, and life will never be the same again.
Hmm.
And if it hasn't happened to you, it will.
You've got to tell us a story about Javier and his wife from the abortion clinic.
Well, you know, one of the hardest things for me was to prepare for my role, because when you're producing and then you're acting at the same time, it's like chaos, you know, especially when you're making a little, you know, a small budget film, you know, where the actors, they have only one or two takes, you know, per scene. So we couldn't find the actors. 3 weeks before I moved to New York to start shooting, we couldn't find the actors. We couldn't find Tammy Blanchard. And so I was a little, like, worried, and I was very nervous because I wanted to rehearse so I can understand the pain that she was going through, you know, the character, Nina. And so I went to an abortion clinic, and I thought it was going to be very simple, you know, just get there with my paper, you know, and a little pen, and interview a few girls, and, you know, how do you feel? Hold on, let me write it down, you know? And, of course, I was very naive. When I got there, I was in shock when I saw all these young girls, you know, 15 and 16-year-old girls, you know, going in, and I didn't know what to say, you know. And then I saw a group of people outside trying to convince them not to do it. So I approached that group, and I told them I'm here to help, you know. So they thought I was one of them, one of the group, another member of the group, you know.
Right.
So a few minutes later, this lady tells me, Eduardo, these couple are from Mexico, and they don't speak English, and I don't, you know, we don't speak Spanish. Can you please talk to them? And I said, sure. So next thing you know, I was in front of the couple. They recognized me from the soap operas in Mexico. Because even though I did them like 10 years ago in Mexico, they repeat them through Univision here in the U.S. forever, you know. Univision is like a Hispanic channel here in the United States. So, and we end up talking for like 45 minutes about everything, you know, life and, you know, faith and dreams, etc. So we became friends. She cried, I cried. I gave her a little teddy bear and a stroller, and so she left. She missed the appointment, you know, and so I called her the next day just in case, you know, she was going to reschedule the appointment again, and I told her, you know, you're not alone. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in, you know, God's events, so how can I help you? So we talked on the phone for many days, and finally we found the actress, Tammy Blanchard. And I moved to New York City. I finished Bella, shooting Bella. And then I came back to Los Angeles again. And a few months later, I received a call from the man who was with her outside of the abortion clinic. And he said, Eduardo, I have a great news, man. My baby was born yesterday.
Oh.
And I want to ask your permission because I want to call my son Eduardo. I mean,
Eduardito.
I couldn't even answer that. You know, I was so moved, and I started crying. And a few days later, went to meet Eduardito in the hospital, and then he was in my arms. And the way how he was looking at me, and he changed my life. He marked my life forever. You know, because I never thought in a million years that by me preparing and doing research for my role, months later, by the grace of God, I was going to be, you know, used as an instrument to save this baby's life, you know?
Amazing. Amazing. It's amazing how God penetrates our puny little minds and our little worlds. And, I mean, here's a quote from the movie itself. God closed my eyes, now I can see. God just seems to kind of keep doing these weird circles around us and kind of comes in just at the right time, at the right place. And now here's a quote which I think is amazing. I've not seen this type of audience response and support since The Passion. While The Passion showed how Christ died for us, Bella shows us how we should live for others. Do you know who said that?
Steve McAbidi, the producer of The Passion of the Christ.
And Braveheart.
And Braveheart.
And this guy is a big kahuna.
Well, I think he's one of the biggest producers in history in Hollywood. He's amazing and humble man, and he's our executive producer in Bella, and he's been our godfather, you know. He's been helping us since day one, and he's an amazing person, you know.
You've done it, man. I mean, you have thoroughly broken into the Anglo-American market, and you didn't have to play the typical bandito or Casanova or Don Juan womanizer. No more J-Lo music videos, I guess, huh?
No more, brother. I'm sorry.
you got to tell a story about your surprise birthday party. Because if I understand things right, Jennifer Lopez gave you a pretty amazing birthday present after filming her music video, Ain't It Funny?
Well, again, this is Eduardo BDC. I just want to make sure, you know, I want to make sure that
people
understand, you know, I mean, Eduardo has been around for 15 years in this career.
I know,
but,
and now you're perfect. I get it.
No. Now I know that I'm so bad that I need help. So before I didn't know that I didn't need help. You know, now at least I know that I need, you know, the grace of God. Anyway, so no, I was in Miami one day and I received a call, and then they asked me, hey, do you know how to dance flamenco? And I said, yes, of course. And okay, so because Jennifer Lopez, she wants to meet with you for her music video that she's doing and in the next few days. And okay, sure. Then I flew to Los Angeles and, you know, we met and we rehearsed and we did the video, and the video was actually in my birthday, May 21st. And so when we finished shooting the video, she brought a cake, cake, and everybody started singing the happy birthday. So imagine a beautiful mountains,
oh,
dancing flamenco with Jennifer Lopez.
And the kiss. Don't forget the kiss.
What?
Now, do you know Donatella Versace?
Well, Donatella Versace did a surprise party for Jennifer Lopez when she got married.
Okay.
And at that time, the music video was the number one video in Europe. So Donatella told Jennifer that, hey, I want to meet the guy in your video. So I went to Milan and to a fashion show, Versace fashion show, and then we went to this private surprise party for Jennifer, and that's when I met her. You know?
Nice. CSI Miami and Charmed, I think you've both been on. Is that right?
Yes.
That sounds like you've had a lot of fun. I mean, and I'm glad that still throughout all of this, Eduardo, that the greatest influence on your life so far, I think, is still your mom and dad.
Yes. You know what? Those are the my two heroes and my English teacher. She's the person, you know, besides my family, that has influence in my life in a way. I mean, just recently somebody was asking me in this interview, Eduardo, you met all these, you know, people and this and that, and who from all these people have really impacted you? And I was thinking really like, okay, who? Let me see. And then I went back, you know what? My English teacher, Jasmine. She's the one, you know, that changed my life.
I think I should probably interview Jasmine instead of you.
I know. Exactly. I'm telling you. She's an amazing lady.
Now, speaking of Jasmine, I'm not suggesting anything here, but how close are you to that dream of getting married and having three kids, two sons, one daughter, and a golden retriever?
Well, you know what? That was a dream that I had when I was very, very young. But now I'm more realistic, you know. Hey, I would love to marry and have children. How many? Well, that God is the one that is going to decide that, you know.
But what about the dog, though? Are you staying with the golden retriever?
I like golden retrievers.
Yeah, I think that's the best dog in the market.
I grew up with those, you know, golden retrievers. So that's it, yes. I haven't met my soulmate yet. I haven't
Not
met
yet.
The mother of my children. I'm dying to. I really want to, you know, I love children, so we'll see. God's time. God's will.
Chariots of Fire, American Beauty, Life is Beautiful, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Hotel Rwanda. And many people are saying that Bella could do what Chariots of Fire did 25 years ago. These all won at the Toronto Film Festival. Chariots of Fire went on to win the Oscar for Best Picture. So many people are saying, you know, Bella, this is going to happen.
You know, for me, the Oscar really is when someone comes to you and tells you, Eduardo, your movie changed my life.
Oh, good call.
That's, you know, like Beethoven said, what comes from the heart goes to the heart. And I think for us, our mission is to, you know, to touch people's hearts. And for example, I don't know if you heard the other story, but a year and a half ago I was in Miami showing Bella to a group of friends, doing like kind of like, you know, focus groups and testing the film, you know. And a couple of weeks later, one of my friends who saw Bella over there called me from Miami. I was in Los Angeles, and he told me, Eduardo, I need a big favor, you know, one of my best friends, his girlfriend is pregnant, and tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, they have an appointment to have an abortion. And she wants to have her baby, but she feels the pressure from her parents and from her boyfriend. And I think she's already, you know, she's convinced, so she's going to do it. And I thought about Jose, the role that you play in Bella, and so I thought about you. And can you please call this guy? And I said, yes. You know, it's a very delicate and very hard call because I haven't seen this guy that I was going to call for years, and finally I called him at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was late, which means 7 hours before the appointment, and I'm talking to him, and after 20 minutes of our conversation, I told him, okay, you know what, to the point, man. This person called me and he told me about your situation. And I know that you are going through something very hard and very tough, and I'm not here to judge you. At the end of the day, you can do whatever you want. But listen to me for 1 second. If you don't want your baby, give it to me. I'm willing to adopt it. Now, the only reason why I said that is because after watching Bella, my own film, more than 200 times, I was inspired by what Jose did in the film. You know, and I was moved and I was touched. And not only by Jose, but working with all these, you know, adoption organizations in the country. You know, I mean, to be honest, I never thought about adoption until I met all these wonderful people that changed my life, because I realized and I discovered that it's nothing more beautiful and noble than to give a child a home, but not only a home, but the family that will love them. And not only that, the gift that the child gives to the parents, you know, the gift of parenthood and motherhood, you know. I mean, in adoption, everybody wins. So I thought maybe I thought I was in front of this moment that I can be like Jose, you know. So that's what I told him that. And he was moved and he was touched and he didn't say anything. Yeah, make a long story short, he canceled the appointment. I went to Miami and I showed him and her and his girlfriend, the movie Bella. And just 11 months ago, a year ago, the baby was born. Nice. And they called her Bella.
Nice. Nice.
So we have a little girl dancing and jumping around in Miami, smiling like a little angel right now.
Beautiful.
So this movie has changed the life of many people, including me. I mean, right now, so far, we received news from more than 10 women that they were, you know, they were scheduled to have an abortion, and after they view Bella, you know, they decided to keep their babies. So this is only the ones that we know of. Only God knows how many more.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this is tremendous. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, folks. The website is bellamoviesite.com. Bellamoviesite.com. Eduardo, we have a lot of listeners in Mexico and Nicaragua. Anything you want to say to them?
Well, the promise that I did is, la promesa que hice fue de jamás me iba a involucrar en ningún proyecto que ofendiera a nuestra comunidad latina, nuestra cultura, nuestra familia. Y Metanoia Films está comprometida a hacer proyectos, a producir proyectos que tengan el potencial no solamente de entretener a la audiencia, sino de hacer una diferencia en nuestra sociedad, elevando, sanando y respetando la dignidad de los latinos en todo el mundo a través del cine que vayamos a hacer.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That was absolutely...
You understood what I said?
Not a clue.
No, what I said is that the mission of Metanoia Films is to produce films that will have the potential not only to entertain, but to make a difference in our society, elevating the dignity of, you know, the human dignity, elevating the dignity of Latinos, but not only Latinos, but men and women in general, because at the end of the day, we are all equal in dignity and we're all brothers and sisters.
I need you to say one more thing in Spanish just before we let you go.
Yes, sir.
You ready?
Yes.
Kathy Lee Gifford is beautiful.
Okay, Kathy es muy hermosa.
I got to work on that because because Kathy's people said you have got to get Eduardo on the show. You've got to talk about this movie. She is just absolutely in love with your movie. She's probably in love with you too. But you know,
you have no idea how not on Kathy and Frank, her husband and her children, are being like our garden angels. I mean, after she saw Bella, she called everybody and started helping us, and she's really like our Bella ambassador and Bella angel. You know, Kathy is amazing, and we love her, and we love Frank and Gifford, and he's been just an amazing supporter of this film. I'm so grateful to them, you know.
Yeah, they're a great family, and when they say jump, I say how high. That's why you're on the show today.
Kathy Lee es hermosa.
There we go. I got it down. Hey, listen, man, thank you. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you. And I wish you the best with this. I really do. And when you come to Toronto, look us up. We'll get you out to the ranch and get you on a horse. What do you think?
That would be amazing. That would be great. I'm looking forward. And Bella is coming out in March. We don't know exactly the date yet, but it's going to be in March. So God bless you. Thank you for everything, man. And we'll see you. We'll see you soon.
I hope so, Eduardo. Thanks, mate.
Adios.
Adios. Is it muchachos? Is that what you say? I'm not.
Sure.
I shouldn't even try anymore, really. The website, bellamoviesite.com, bellamoviesite.com. This is an amazing production, folks. All right, a short break, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.